Good morning. That song reminds me of a conversation I had just before church started with someone and asked them how they were doing. They said, "I'm good, but I got nothing to do with it. It's all God." And folks, that's how God is. That's how God is. We really have, well, we got a little bit to do with it, and that's believing. The rest of it's up to Him. The rest of it's all on Him. And that's kind of what makes it great. Is that it's us relying on His power in our weakness that makes Him so incredible. Because I don't know about y'all, but I'm a whole lot like a lot of these guys in the Bible. You know, Moses' first response to God was, "I can't." Gideon's first response to God was, "But I can't." So many of the great men of the Bible that did great things for God, their first response was, "I can't." But God's response always was, "But I can." And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. It's been on my mind all week long. And it's this simple phrase, God is able. God is able. There is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing that He cannot do, nothing He will not do for His people, nothing that we cannot accomplish through Him. That's God. If it's all Him and He's doing it, just sit back and watch sometimes, and it's amazing to see what God does. You know, I've witnessed to people before, and you know, y'all do that too. You get your projects. We say, "I'm working on somebody." You ever give up and say, "Well, God, I just can't do nothing with these people. You're going to have to do it." And suddenly, that person gets saved. And God says, "I was just waiting for you to get out of the way all along." Folks, that's how God is. He is able. If we just realize our weaknesses and His strength, it's amazing what we can accomplish through God. Scripture this morning is in the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. It is a great book of faith. Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going to be reading at this morning. Talking about four guys actually this morning I want to talk about. Daniel, of course. And a guy named Hananiah, a guy named Mishael, and a guy named Azariah. Y'all know who those three are? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right. But in Daniel chapter 3, we begin to see this story unfold about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their stand of faith. And folks, I want to tell you this morning, if you get nothing else out of this today, that is we, the people of God, have to stand on faith. Because many times in life, what we see don't make sense. What we see doesn't add up. What we see in people doesn't add up. But what God can do is immeasurable. What He can accomplish, it's incredible. It's incredible. But these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, old King Nebuchadnezzar, great king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar got full of himself. Happens to all of us from time to time, by the way. But Nebuchadnezzar got full of himself, and he built this great statue. 30 feet high, 9 feet wide. That's a pretty good size statue. Just to put it in perspective for you, this roof on this building is probably roughly 20 feet. Just to put it in perspective for you. So add 10 feet more to the height of this building and 9 feet wide. That's probably the width almost of that whole middle piece up there. 9 feet wide. Pretty good size image he made of himself. Stuck it out in the middle of this plane and said, when you hear the music, just to shorten it up, When you hear the music, you better fall down and worship me. Worship my idol. But these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse. We're going to take up reading in verse 12. Let me back up for just a minute. There's always going to be people who are ready, willing, and jump at the chance to throw you under the bus to people around you. And that's what happened in these guys' case. In verse 12, where we begin reading, we see that. These guys, they came to the king. And this is what they said. There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. Now, let me stop there for just a minute. We have a president in our country, and he makes statements. He makes decrees. He does all kinds of things. And as a free people, we got a right a lot of times just to ignore whatever he says. Not so in Nebuchadnezzar's day. Nebuchadnezzar, the kings of Babylon, were such, I don't know what the word to use exactly, they were so high and mighty, so high and lifted up above everybody around them, that, first of all, women could not enter their presence without being summoned. Women could not speak without fear of losing their life. Go over to the book of Esther and read that story, and you'll hear about that. Men had to be careful how they spoke to him, because if he didn't like what they said, somebody go kill him. Somebody take him out, do away with him. I mean, that was the power that this king had. Now, we don't really comprehend that kind of power because we don't see it. So it's hard for us sometimes to understand, but he had ultimate sovereign power over the kingdom of Babylon. Whatever he said happened. And so when these guys came to him and said, oh, king, these three Hebrews, these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are paying no attention to you. Says they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Says furious with rage in verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Says, now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the cither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So what he's basically saying here to him, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more shot at this. And if you mess it up, you're going to die. Listen to their answer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you on this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? And they replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth is like a son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, and governors, and royal advisors crowded around them, And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, nor there was there a smell of fire upon them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him, defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Folks, that is powerful scripture. I mean, our God, they said, is able to deliver us. Our God is able, O king, no matter what you do to our bodies, our God will deliver us. But then they said, but O king, even if he doesn't, we're still going to believe. Even if we die in those flames, we're going to die believing in the Most High God. Folks, that should be the attitude of people in the church today. That should be the way we go through life. Totally, absolutely, trusting in God. Trusting in God. See, the king in verse 15, he gives a command again, and he asks him, he says, "What God is able to rescue you from my hand? What God can rescue you from me?" You know, there might come a time in the lives of some of you in this room today where you are faced with just such a question, where you will be faced with just such an impossible situation. What God can rescue you? Who can help you now? Folks, the answer was then and is now and will forever be, God can. God can. There's nothing that God cannot do. They answered him, God is able. God is able. I ask you this morning, who is able? Who is able? God's able. Don't be ashamed of that. Shout it out. God is able. God can do anything. See, what happened in all of this is old Nebuchadnezzar suddenly found himself in a royal mess. He says, uh-oh. Imagine his thought. I mean, we don't have word of it, but just imagine his thought process. Started out furious. So the Bible uses that word. Angry. How dare you stand before me and tell me you will not bow before me? And suddenly he's like, uh-oh. How many people we throw in that fire? Three, O king. Well, I see four. Think about that. I see four. And the fourth one, his countenance is like the Son of God. It says he went down to the fire. What did he say? He went down to the fire. He says, let me find it real quick. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Suddenly, listen to what he says. His whole demeanor changes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. You get that? Before, he was the Most High God. Before, back up in verse 15, he's like, nobody can save you from me. Back up in verse 15, he was emphatic about what he was fixing to do. But suddenly, he's like, uh-oh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Y'all come here. Been funny if they said, no, king, you come on in and see us. But they didn't. They stepped out of the fire. And here's another thing. Remember their enemies? Back over in verse 12 where we started reading, but you go back up to about verse 8 there, you'll see where it says that the satraps, the prefects, all those guys, they came before the king and said, there's some Jews. There's some Jews who are causing problems, king. Look at what it says down in verse 27. He says, they came out of the fire, says the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the royal advisors, crowded around them. You catch that? Their enemies, the people who sought to kill them, suddenly wanting to know what saved them. It says they crowded around them. Those guys who sought to do them in, if you notice in this scripture, they didn't fight against the leaders here. They didn't fight against Nebuchadnezzar here. They didn't fight against these satraps and these prefects. They didn't start saying, oh, well, they're lying about us. We didn't really do that. They let God be their voice. They let God be their advocate. They let God be the one to explain the situation to everybody. They let God do it. And it says, these same men who had tried to do them in suddenly crowded around them because they wanted to check this out. Because think about it. They were thrown into a fire. We had a fire out in the backyard a few weeks ago. We roasted some hot dogs around it and sausage and stuff like that. I'd already had a bath that night. Went outside, roasted a weenie. Came in back in smelling like a roasted weenie. Anybody ever been around fire knows you get anywhere near it. It stinks. You're going to smell like it. It's all up in your clothes. It's all over you. It's in your hair. Look at what it says. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies. Now, go back a minute. The guys who threw them in. What happened to them? Killed them. Killed them. The heat was so intense that it killed them. The fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Folks, I've singed all the hair off my arm building a fire in a fireplace before. You've probably done it maybe in a barbecue pit before with a cutting torch. Who knows? But this was a fire so intense that it killed men, but yet didn't touch God's people. Didn't touch them. It says, and there was no smell of fire on them. It's like they never went in the fire. It's like the fire never existed. And folks, let me tell you, for those three guys, the fire didn't exist except to burn their bonds loose. The fire didn't exist except to show the world that God is able. The fire didn't exist except for God to be glorified. That's the only reason the fire existed. It wasn't there that day to take their lives because their God, what they say, statement of faith, our God is able to save us. And he will rescue us from his hand, from your hand. Our God is able. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is the God you serve able to do those such things? Are you walking this life in faith, believing that God can do anything? Folks, I'm going to tell you, my daughter's here this morning. She's probably going to get mad at me, but she'll get over it. She was dating this guy here a few years back that I didn't like. I'll be honest, didn't like him. We tried. We just couldn't see eye to eye with the boy. Me and Melanie talked about it quite often. We didn't hardly ever say anything to her about it. We just left it alone. But you know what I kept telling Melanie? God is bigger. God is bigger. God can deal with this. And he did, didn't he, baby? Ain't God something? See, God, he made her okay with it. God is bigger. And that's what we got to understand. God is bigger. You know what? You got children out there who ain't living their lives the way they're supposed to be living them. I got some that ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you're going around yammering at them and henpecking at them and driving them farther and farther and farther away. Trust in the God that you say you serve and watch what he can do in their lives. Because God is able.
God is able. Some of you are having financial issues in your life, and you don't know what to do about them. But let me tell you, trust in the God who gave you the job you have. He is able. Some of you are having physical issues. You're sick, whatever may be going on in your life, but you don't know what to do about it. But trust in God, because He is able to deliver you from that. God can. Folks, I believe with all of my heart, there's nothing that God cannot do. You know, I've been told, people's told me before, well, you know, I remember, never will forget, first church, one of the first churches, a pastor, guy looked at me and said, "You don't look like much of a preacher." I said, "I ain't, but I serve a big God." And folks, that's what we got to remember. Us people, we don't look like much. I mean, honestly, really, have you ever looked at somebody and said they were capable of doing something? Your first thought, almost always, when you look at somebody, it's like, no, they can't do that. You bring somebody in for a job interview. No, what? Look at this list of morons that they brought to me. Right? Those of you who do the hiring and firing, ain't that what you think about sometimes? Just can't find good people no more. God is able. You got children dating people that are not what you desire. Clean that up a little bit, but anyway. They're not what you desire. Instead of fighting the child, pray to the God. Amazing things can happen. See, God is able. Is there anybody in this place that God's done a miracle in your life? I bet there is. There are many of you in this place that God has done something incredible in your life. Man, shout it from the rooftops. Tell the world about it. Tell them what God can do. When we trust God, I love verse 27, because when we trust God, even our enemies will come to see what God's doing. You know that, church? Even your enemies will come see what God is doing. Think about that. These guys tried to have him killed. They didn't like them. You know why they didn't like them? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were higher than them in the government. Had they been under them, there wouldn't have been an issue. But they were higher than them in the government. And the king looked with more favor on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego than he did on them. So they said, let's do them in. Same thing happens to Daniel over in chapter 6. Right over here in chapter 6, Daniel, the king does something else. I forget what he built. But anyway, he did something else, and he said, you got to worship it. Oh, he didn't build nothing. He wanted people to pray to him. And Daniel three times a day still prayed to his God. The same group of people went to the king, said, oh, king, guess what? A guy, Daniel, the one you set up over your whole kingdom, he's over there praying to some other god. So the king had himself in another royal mess. And he takes Daniel and he throws him in the lion's den. Y'all know that story, don't you? He threw Daniel in the lion's den. Let's read it real quick. Verse 19 of chapter 6. This is the next morning. It says, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. It says, when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. He says, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, you catch that, church? Daniel never quit serving his God. He says, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? You know what I think? Darius went there believing that Daniel was going to be alive. Why else would he be talking to him like this? Darius believed in the power of Daniel's God. But he caught himself in a trap. He made a royal decree. He had to follow through with it. So he threw him in. Listen to what Daniel says in verse 21. Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God, catch that, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong against you, O king. Says, verse 23, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Because he had trusted in his God. The king got up, says, was your God able to rescue you? Church, I tell you today, God is able to do anything. He can do everything that God sees fit to do. That's what God can do. We don't need to be Christians who walk around wondering if God's going to look out for us. We don't need to be Christians who walk around wondering what God can do or what God's going to do about it. We make ourselves sick with worry, sick with anguish. Knots in the stomach, stomach issues. People worry, worry, worry. God says, don't worry, because I am God. That phrase we all love to use when somebody says something to us, I got this. Y'all know that phrase, huh? I got this. Folks, that's God. He's got it. And if he ordained it, nobody can stop it. If he didn't ordain it, no matter what you try to do, it ain't going to work. But if God ordained it, nobody can stop it. It's what God said is going to happen. It's what God said is going to happen. I ask you this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. Are you a people today who are living by faith in God? Because, folks, this isn't just a story from a book. This is history from God-breathed word. This is testimony about the great and awesome God we serve. It's what God can do because God is able. He is able. There is nothing, nothing that God cannot do. We got to remember that and we got to live that. You know, I don't care who you are, where you go, what you do. There are always going to be people who tell you you can't do something. There's always going to be those people. I don't care who you are. You can be in the church working. You can be anywhere working. People are going to come along and say, you can't do that. Just agree with them. Say, you're right. But God can. God can. I never will forget when God called me to preach. That was my answer. God, I can't do that. I can't do that. But you know what? All I do is get up here and tell how great God is. He does the preaching. It's Him. He does it. I can't tell you how many times I've stood behind a pulpit at the moment of beginning of a sermon wondering, what's this going to be about? Because I didn't have a clue. I'd studied all week. I had gone through the scriptures. I'd flipped pages and prayed. God didn't deliver nothing. But let me tell you what's always happened. God has always been right on time when the message time came. Because God is able. God is able. I'm going to share a story with you. I shared with the Wednesday night group a couple weeks ago. I got a phone call a couple weeks ago on a Tuesday night from a young man I used to pastor, and he was just distraught. He said, preacher, my girlfriend's sick. She's 22 years old. She's had a heart attack, and she's in the hospital in Boston. And he says, I just need you to pray. I said, okay, Mark, that's fine. We'll pray, bud. I prayed with him then. I prayed when I got off the phone. Melanie was praying. Others were praying. We put it on Facebook. Some of you prayed about it. But let me tell you what happened, if I can get the whole story straight. On Sunday before that, this young lady had prayed a prayer with her pastor. And her prayer was that she wanted to see God do incredible things like he did in the Bible. She wanted to see God move like he moved in biblical days. She wanted to see people healed. She wanted to see God transform people's lives. She wanted to see it. Well, then she had a heart attack. She went to one hospital. They couldn't do anything for her. They sent her to another hospital. They couldn't do anything for her. They sent her to a third hospital. She showed up there about 2 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday morning.
doctors there were pretty hopeless about her situation. I mean, a 22-year-old having a heart attack is a pretty serious issue. I mean, most, the younger you are, the worse it is what I've been told. And this 22-year-old girl, they gave her a 40% chance of living through the night. Let me tell you what happened to this young girl. Next morning, about 8 or 9 o'clock, whatever it was, she opened her eyes. And she began praising God. The doctor walks out of that hospital room, that ICU room, walks out to where the family is, and they said he began just to sob. He began just to sob like they said he was just, they just expected the worst kind of news. They just knew their daughter was dead. Said that doctor dropped to his knees in the waiting room of that hospital and said, I just want you to know I've seen a miracle. And right now today, I give my heart to Jesus Christ. See, what that young girl did, yeah, give praise to God on that one. Here was a doctor who did not believe in God. And God let him see something incredible. God let him see something absolutely incredible. And he believed. He was just like this king here. He was just like this king. See, God can. A few weeks ago, I asked you to open your wallets and give money to a couple in need. Let me tell you what happened with that. Because God's big. The offering came to $2,300. That Monday, I got a check. Took it to them. Never met these people before. I just knew they had a need. I went in. I visited with them for a while. I handed them a check. I left. They didn't open the check while I was there. I got word after the fact from another lady that was in the room with us. She said, after you left, they opened up the check and saw how much it was. And they said it was almost exactly the amount they needed for their stay in Houston. See, that's God. I didn't know how much they needed. You didn't know how much they needed. But guess who did? God did. God knew exactly what they needed. And God delivered. See, that's what God does. He delivers. Again, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, Hebrews tells us, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Another translation of that says that is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. See, so many of us want to walk through life and have to, oh, I got to see it to believe it. God says, just believe. Just believe. I mean, think about those three guys. What if they would have said, well, God can save us, but let's throw somebody else in first just to make sure. That wouldn't have been a faith statement at all. They had to stand on faith. They had to stand on what they knew to be true. They had to stand on what they knew in their heart that God could accomplish. And church, I tell you again, there is nothing that God cannot accomplish. If that's the case, I have wasted my life. I really have. Many of you have wasted your lives if God can't accomplish whatever he wants. But I don't believe that for a moment. Because I've seen sick people get up out of hospital beds. I've seen people who doctors said there was no hope for live and walk again. Not because of my prayers, not because I was special, but because many people were praying and asking God to change the situation. Because he was able. See, that's what our prayer lives are about. It's about a bunch of weak people who have no power to do anything. Getting on their knees before a great and awesome God.
And then he does what he does. And God's people need to give him the glory. We need to praise him every chance we get because he is great. We need to praise him every chance we get because he is truly awesome. He is awesome. He is able. I ask you again this morning, is your God able? Because if your God is not able, you're not plugged in to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If your God is not able, you need to make sure you're even a child of God. Because God is able. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that God cannot accomplish. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Let me ask you something. What are you expecting God to do? What are you expecting? What are you expecting? I expect God to do big things. I expect God to save people. I expect God, I hope in God, that he can still change this country. If it's not his will, it's not his will, but I still pray and hope. I'll always have that hope. That building we're fixing to build, I ain't got the money to build it, but God does. He has a way. This construction work going on in here, we walked in kind of, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. Every day, something new. God's doing it. He's showing us what to do. See, what we, the people of God, have to be is willing vessels. Willing vessels. To stand and be used. Oh, King, you can throw us in the fire. It don't matter. We're going to serve him anyway. See, that needs to be our attitude. We need to say to the world, it don't matter what you do to me. My God is bigger. He's bigger. He's able. He's able. I ask you again, church, is your God able? See, all my life I was taught when you ask for something to say, may I, instead of can I. But with God, it's just a can issue. Because if he can, he may. If he's able, he will. And our God is able. Father God, we just lift up to you this morning your greatness. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are truly able. I thank you, Father, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you made a way for us. And Father, that he is able to save us. I thank you, Lord. And Father, I just pray that we, your people, Lord, would get in a position in our lives to realize how great you are, how awesome you truly are, God. That we would get in a place, Father, to be blessed by you. And Father, that place can only come when we realize and acknowledge your greatness. When we acknowledge, Father, your love for us. When we acknowledge, Father, what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross. Father, you got rid of our sin because you were able. And Father, we thank you for that today. And Father, I pray this morning that everyone that hears my voice, Father, I pray more than that they would hear your voice today. I pray, Father, they'd hear your spirit today. And that, Father, that your people would realize how able you are. Your people would realize, Father, that they don't need to be carrying their burdens around that they can do nothing about. They need to give their burdens to the Lord. Because, Father, you can do something about the problem. Father, help us to understand that our weakness is not a bad thing. Because, Father, your power is a great thing. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you are able. I thank you, Father, that your Son is able. I thank you, Father, that your Spirit is able. Oh, Father, help us in our unbelief. Shore up, Father, our faith in a mighty God we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.